Today, a Tuesday, means it's time to talk to Riley Gates of GoPowerCat.com, who has boldly predicted that K-State will right the ship and win the rest of their games. Right, Riley?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
No hesitation whatsoever on that one. Well, Riley, let's talk about last week's game. Baylor wins 37-34. It came down to a final field goal for the most part. I'm watching this game, and I was sitting here, and it was a game to me that was painful to watch because I was watching with my 12-year-old, and I turned to him along with my stepfather-in-law, and we all looked at each other and were like, does anybody want to win this game? It was almost like both of them wanted it to end in a tie. So many mistakes by both sides. I don't even know where to begin. So since I don't know where to begin, I'll let you kick off the conversation. When you look at that game, where was this game lost?
Well, you know, I kind of had the same feeling as you did to a certain extent. I texted someone at halftime because someone had texted me and asked me, said it looked awful on TV. How did it seem in person? And I said, well, I guess K-State's winning. I mean, they're up on the scoreboard, but are they winning?
Yeah.
So it was just a really weird game. You know, where it was lost, I mean, just small things. You know, I think it was more self-inflicted wounds, more mistakes made than anything. You know, you start the second half off getting the ball back with the lead and you fumble the opening kickoff. I mean, that's just very uncharacteristic of Bill Snyder teams, obviously. And you kind of have to stop preaching that, you know, they don't beat themselves thing, because they did in this game. They had that. Then they had a targeting penalty that lost Reggie Walker for the rest of the game in the first half of this weekend's game. And then Daquan Patton hits Charlie Brewer out of bounds, and he had to go 15 more yards on that game-winning drive. I mean, to me, this is the first time we've been able to look at a game and say K-State should have won this game, but they didn't. And I think it goes back to those self-inflicted wounds. I mean, you can point to two interceptions by Skylar Thompson all you want. You can point to, you know, allowing over 200 rushing yards and three rushing touchdowns for Baylor. But at the end of the day, I think this is just small things that slowly added up. I mean, when one team misses three field goals, you cannot give them an opportunity to have a game-winning field goal at the end of it. I mean, you just can't. That shows right there you didn't play clean enough, good enough to beat a team if you can miss that many field goals and still win the game.
There were so many things that went wrong in this game, and yet they had a chance to win. And as you said, and I agree with you, they should have won the game. And, you know, Skylar Thompson, a wide-open Alex Barnes, he misses him. That was a golden opportunity. He had a couple questionable passes. The one in the double coverage that Deshaun picked off was not a great decision. But I can spread the blame around. I mean, Alex Barnes had a great game running the football, huge holes to run through, and that was a bright spot from the offensive line. But he also dropped a snap on a 4th-and-1 early in the game that cost him a turnover and downs. He dropped a swing pass where it looked like he had a lot of room to run. You mentioned the penalties. Your backup kicker misses a field goal. The fumble and special teams start the second half. But the one thing that kept gnawing at me when I watched this game, and we rewound it on the DVR, I would pause it, I'd show my oldest, this is how you don't tackle. You don't tackle with your shoulder. And Justin Hughes, and it wasn't just him, there were other players at K-State that were throwing themselves, launching themselves at the upper body of the opposing running back with their shoulder. Now, listen, you got to wrap up to tackle, but if you're going to launch yourself and try to knock a guy down with your shoulder, you better go low, because you're not going to knock a guy down up high very often at this level of football. The thing that stood out to me, Riley, was the tackling was just horrendous.
Yeah, Pro Football Focus went back and watched the game, and they said 21 missed tackles, and honestly, I'm shocked if it's that low of a number.
Me too.
It was insane how many tackles were missed in this game. And you know, I'm going to be real blunt with you here for a second. I think that, you know, I know a lot of these guys on the defense, you know, personally. I had a couple classes with some of them when I was in school, and then, you know, obviously just getting to know them through this job, I know their personalities. It doesn't shock me that a lot of these guys are diving at players looking for a big hit, trying to, you know, be on SportsCenter with a forced fumble or anything like that. I mean, this is kind of the type of defensive guys that these players are. And I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean, this is kind of what you have with these players on defense. You have these guys looking to make these big hits, you know, trying to be on a highlight reel in 10 years when K-State has a promo play before a game. And I don't understand that, because this is not a very good defense. And, you know, who cares if you level a Baylor running back or a quarterback for a big hit on second down. You still got third and 18, and it doesn't look like you're able to stop plays like that, you know, third and 18. So I would just really appreciate it if this defense would make a hit, get up, and then snap the ball. You know, there was one play, and I think it was 14-12 was the score, in case it was up. And Baylor ran a play on second down, and K-State makes a goal line stop, and now it's third and goal. You've got Justin Hughes and Daquan Patton looking at the video board behind them, watching what type of play they made on that stop. And meanwhile, Baylor snaps the ball and runs into the end zone. This is a team, I think this defense is just so focused on making a big play, like I said, trying to be on SportsCenter and being flashy, that they're getting away from just be a defense, make a stop, and get the ball back.
I think that was the play, too, where K-State sent a guy out late and was actually offsides.
Yeah.
I think you're referring to that play, and that's not a good sign either, because there's miscommunication, not on the same level. We see KU football do that a lot. Now we're seeing K-State do it a little bit as well in regards to substitutions, late substitutions, and problems with the clock. Go Power Cuts, Riley Gates, our guest today, as he is every Tuesday on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Okay, so let's address the quarterback situation. Bill Snyder, as he always is, very mum about it all week long, and he'd been saying that both quarterbacks will play this and that, and Alex Delton wasn't even suited up. Is Delton nicked up? Is that from the injury against Texas, or do you know something that we don't?
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, it's that sprained ankle against Texas, or whatever it was, a knee, I'm not exactly sure. Came hobbling off the field, and we haven't been able to speak to him since then. I'm sure we'll get a little bit of more information today when we talk to Coach Snyder, or maybe we'll get absolutely no information. I'm not exactly sure right now. I imagine he probably wasn't healthy enough to go. But, the way this quarterback situation is going, it wouldn't shock me if it was, hey, let's say that Alex isn't healthy enough to go. I'm not trying to speculate. I'm just saying,
right.
It's such musical chairs right now. It's such back and forth. And, even though Skylar Thompson made two very risky throws that were both picked off, I can't defend either one of those. The first one, he stared down Isaiah Harris the entire time. But meanwhile, Dalton Schoen was streaking up the middle of the field wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw an interception on that. And then on the one he tried to hit Schoen on, there was double, almost triple coverage on that. So I don't know why you're making that throw. Not a good game from Skylar in that aspect, but also he made plays. He hit Dalvin on that little curl out to the left side. He found that open hole and went 52 yards up the middle for a touchdown. I mean, if he hasn't solidified himself as the number one quarterback over the last 3 weeks, going back to that didn't play amazing in West Virginia, but played all right. But he plays good against UTSA, an all right, not great game against West Virginia, and then two, I think, pretty strong games the last 2 weeks. If that doesn't solidify him as the number one quarterback, I guess we're just going to have to play this game for the rest of the season.
Well,
honestly,
one thing we got to keep in mind, too, he's a sophomore, and he hasn't been able to just have the keys and go to where he's allowed to make some of these mistakes. So he's going to make some mistakes. I mean, we're waiting for Patrick Mahomes to make a whole bunch of mistakes. He did throw two picks in the last Chiefs game. These guys are human, and they're young, and they're inexperienced at these levels, so it's going to take some time, and that's why I'm all for Skylar Thompson just being the guy, and you just got to go through some growing pains with him instead of yanking him after he makes a mistake. And of course, with Delton not healthy enough to play, then Coach Snyder didn't have that to use, and so Skylar was able to go the whole way. And with him at quarterback, they scored 34 points. Now, I know he didn't score all of them himself, which leads me to the positive, I guess, you take out of the game, and that is, and I don't know how much this is the Baylor defense not good against the run, because there were some gigantic holes that you and I could have run through, but Alex Barnes runs for a career-high 250 yards, and the offensive line were blowing some guys off the ball.
Yeah, exactly. I do think there is a little bit to be said about the defense they're playing. Baylor is the worst run defense in the Big 12, so, take it with a grain of salt. But, yeah, I mean, the offensive line played really, really well. I thought that up the middle, specifically with Adam Holtorf and Tyler Mitchell, and then, also at times when Josh Rivas got in there in place of Abdul Beecham, I thought that opening up the middle was just really successful for K-State. I always love to look at the camera angles from when it's kind of behind them, on replays maybe, and it just shows how much of a hole sometimes the linemen can make, and they were really making big holes for Alex Barnes to run through on Saturday, and, Alex hit him hard. That was the biggest difference. And in the past, we've seen Alex, every time he meets a defender, he stops, It's almost like he's trying to level them, trying to run them over, but once he hits him, once he knocks him over, that's it. He doesn't go any further. And this one, I thought he hit the holes hard. I thought he hit guys hard, and he kept running. And he really kind of turned on those jets that we really haven't seen a whole lot this year. So really encouraging performance from Alex. And, you know, that was kind of the game his redshirt freshman year where he did that against Baylor, and it kind of kick-started him. You know, he had a really nice end of the season after that, although the Baylor game was late in the year. But he finished his redshirt freshman year strong, and, you know, who's to say he doesn't do that once again with this season? I mean, it's really possible, and I think the key now is realizing that's where your strength is. I mean, we've always known that's where the strength of this team is running the football. But now we've seen it. We have it on tape. Now you need to go do it. You need to go put it on the field again, do it again, and make that your bread and butter and make teams try to stop you on that. And then your pass game is going to open up so much more. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better showing, I don't think, from the offense. I mean, outside of a first quarter drought in there, I thought the offense played really, really well on Saturday, and I think maybe it's a little bit encouraging moving forward if you're trying to look for a positive.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You can cut down a few of the mistakes like Skylar had. Of course, the one that keeps popping in my head, I can picture it now, is still the wide-open Alex Barnes that he missed, and he said it after the game. I got to make that throw, and he didn't. He made a mistake. He owned up to it. The other thing, too, is when they work hand-in-hand, and you mentioned that that can open up the passing game with Barnes and the running game, but it also, with the threat of a quarterback that can throw the ball effectively, at least most of the time, that opens up the running game as well. And that's what you don't have when you have Dalton in the ball game. We're talking to Go Powercats Riley Gates today here on the Sports Ticket. Okay, I want to go back to last week because I'd be remiss if I don't bring this up. Because I'm sure, in fact, I'm pretty sure you were in the room. In fact, I think you asked questions. Coach Snyder's press conference last week, he got a little testy. He was not in a good mood when he walked to the podium, from what I saw. And then our friend John asked a few questions that Coach wasn't really pleased with. And at the end, he said, write whatever the hell you're going to write. Was this one of those things where, I mean, to me, it seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong, that he was frustrated because he knew what questions he was going to get. He wasn't going to give you much information anyway. He was frustrated to begin with. He was even more frustrated with the persistence of asking the questions about his quarterback situation, particularly Skylar. But I argued, you know what? I understand he's in a bad mood. He has a right to be in a bad mood. He has a right to be testy. But he's kind of created that because he is frustrating K-State fans and media members as well, not understanding why you have so much faith in Dalton and not Thompson. And that's really what you guys were trying to do in that press conference, is trying to understand where Coach Snyder is coming from, and he obviously didn't want to really tell you guys.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. I mean, there's not a whole lot more to say other than that. I mean, I think that's exactly what happened. And, you know, on top of that, he's a 27-year veteran coach, and he's made the right call on so many things in the past. So now that when, you know, reporters my age, John's age, you know, all in our 20s, some people 30s and 40s are pushing him, maybe, you know, questioning his decisions, it doesn't sit well with him because he doesn't want to admit that, you know, maybe we were the right ones here. And mm-hmm. I hate to say that I was right over Bill Snyder, but, I mean, I think it's getting obvious in the situation that we were. Look, I mean, I know that it's going to get frustrating with people constantly pegging questions, people constantly downplaying Alex Dalton. I get it. You don't want to see that happen if you're Bill Snyder. But also, like you said, Wade, you put yourself in this situation if you're Bill Snyder. You were the one that made this a big deal. If he'd answered John's, you know, John's first question was, what are we not seeing?
Yeah.
Literally gave him any possible answer. He could literally say anything.
Yep.
But he comes back with, you're not a coach on the field.
Right.
That's going to create a bigger stirrup than if he says, you know, I just like what Alex said. If he comes out and says, you know, what are you missing? Well, you know, in certain things, certain packages that you don't get to see on the film room, we like Alex better here, X, Y, Z, whatever. He can fake an answer and get out of that question. He could have done that with every single question that was posed to him, but he wouldn't do it. These last 7 days have not been good for him in the PR, and I think it's going to get worse today. I mean, so that happened, and then on Saturday, he dodges two questions from Kelis Robinette from the Star inexplicably, mm-hmm. And they were incredibly fair questions, and I really don't know why he ignored them. And then yesterday on the teleconference, I asked him, you know, I said, you gave up a punt return for a touchdown against Texas. You fumbled the opening half kickoff against Baylor. What are the concerns in the special teams right now? And he just said, we need to get better. I don't think he realizes just how frustrating his answers are, how frustrated his answers are making people. People are not happy that he's painting it this way. He's coming across as a, you know, for lack of a better term, a stubborn old man that doesn't want to be told what to do or doesn't want to be pushed.
Right.
And the more he acts like this, the more he gives answers in this form, it's only going to get worse. Yeah, I'm writing about special teams this week, and, you know, it's kind of sad that I've sat here the whole morning trying to think of a way to word a question about special teams that I can get an answer that I can use in my story, because if he doesn't give me anything, I don't really have a whole lot to go on. So it's really, really frustrating and honestly kind of sad to see it go this way, that Bill Snyder is so stuck in his ways that he refuses to even slightly cooperate with media that's just trying to get answers for a fan base that needs them so bad right now.
Go Powercats, Riley Gates, our guest today. As always, every Tuesday, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. You've probably heard this before. You know, I've heard it from some Snyder supporters. They're never going to forget. None of us are going to forget what Bill Snyder's done at Kansas State University. I mean, it's one of the greatest turnarounds, if not the greatest turnaround in college sports history. But at the same time, if you can question the President of the United States of America, you can question the head football coach at Kansas State University. But there are still those bona fide, ardent supporters of Bill Snyder, and I think they're getting a little bit fewer as we go, that say, listen, this is a whole bunch of young media guys trying to, you know, have their name out there. They're pushing Coach Snyder. They don't appreciate what Coach Snyder did way back when those guys might not even been born or they're in diapers. Trust me, I've heard this. I don't agree with it, by the way, Riley, but I just want you to know I've heard some of this. And so they just need to cut Coach Snyder a break. Everything he's done for Kansas State University, he can do whatever he needs to do. And I'm like, wait a minute. He's the football coach, but he doesn't own the university. He doesn't run the university. And you can question things when it doesn't add up. But here's the thing. You ask the questions. He has the right not to answer them or not. But to be so condescending right off the bat last week with John and like, well, you're not a coach, are you? Well, duh. Of course I'm not a coach. I would have loved to have seen John. No, well, of course I'm not. That's why I'm here with a microphone asking you questions. Because if I were a coach, I wouldn't need to ask you these questions. And it is irritating for me and for Dusty and anybody else that's a fan watching football with any team, let alone Kansas State, when you can't really give us answers to something that none of us understand. We're asking you to help us understand you. And if you don't have a good explanation, then you're really not defending yourself. It's almost like you're indirectly admitting you're wrong, but you don't want to say you're wrong.
Yeah, that's the thing right now. And I think that Coach views us in the media as we're there to get him.
Yes.
You know, we're there to expose him and try to get him to say something that'll be good for a clip or for a story. And that's not what we're there to do. We're there to get an answer. We're there to do our jobs. And he doesn't, you know, comprehend that. But also, you know, that's been the biggest thing over the last few weeks is a lot of people from the outside have made it, you know, they've looked at the situation and they've said that the media isn't pressing Bill Snyder enough, that they're not asking him the quote-unquote tough questions. And, you know, it's a really good point that John Kurtz made on the game on Tuesday was that the majority of that room is filled with K-State grads that understand this. You know, I'm a K-State grad.
Right.
Everybody I work with is a K-State grad. The only people that aren't is Kellis Robinette from the Star, Ryan Black from the Mercury, and I mean, off the top of my head, I think that's it on the Tuesday press conference. So we're not there to do that to him. We're not, and it's also, we're not there to try to belittle K-State football or to put K-State football in a bad light. I mean, if anything, it's frustrating. You know, I try to stay as neutral as I can, but if anything, it's frustrating that K-State's struggling this much for us. So that's not what our goal is going in there. Our goal, like I've said multiple times already, is to get some answers, to be able to do our jobs and maybe relay on to the fans, you know, why is this happening? What are the reasons for these struggles? And no, there's been no question asked in any press conference pre or post. There's been no thing written on Twitter, nothing that has been disrespectful, that has been derogatory towards Bill Snyder, nothing. It's all fair opinions based on facts, and that's where the line is being drawn, is that those people you mentioned, they're all looking at the situation as we're trying to oust Bill Snyder. We're trying to make it look like we know more than Bill Snyder, and we're not.
Right.
At the end of the day, we're simply looking for answers, simply looking for reasons why he's doing what he's doing, which is our job. And You know, you're going to have those. Bill Snyder could go 0-12, and I don't know. He could flip the fans off at Bill Snyder Family Stadium, and there's going to be those fans that say, this is his program. He can do what he wants, you know, and they're always going to be there, you know. And so that's just kind of the struggle you have to deal with K-State football fans, is some of them don't realize the bigger picture, that he's not always going to be here, and it's not, at the end of the day, it's not Bill Snyder's football program. Yes, he built it. Yes, he's a reason the football team is so successful. He's a reason the university and the town is so successful. But at the end of the day, he's simply the football coach that is paid by the university to coach the team.
Yep. I mean, when you're looking for answers and you don't get answers, that leads to more people that speculate on what the answers could be, which sometimes makes the situation even worse. And I think that's part of it, too. Okay, let's look ahead. What would you say if I gave you the question? In fact, I'll give it to you right now. On a percentage of 1 to 100, what do you think the percentage odds are of K-State riding the ship and being making it to a bowl game?
Oh, 1 to 100? I mean, I don't think you can go any higher than 25% is what I'll say right now. That's the max chance I'd give them.
Uh-huh.
You know, I see them beating KU. I see them getting KU for sure. And I see him pulling a win somewhere. I don't know which one it is, but I see him pulling one more. But I don't see enough wins to get him into a bowl at this point.
I was thinking 20 to 25, so I'm on the same page with you. So let's look ahead real quickly to the game coming up on Saturday before we let you go. Oklahoma State comes in. They've had two weird losses. They got blown out at home by Texas Tech last week, lost to a quarterback we never heard of from Iowa State and gave up 48 points. So they're going to be upset, I'm sure, come in trying to right the ship. Your thoughts on the matchup against the Cowboys?
Yeah, you know, I think it's an interesting one because I think that Oklahoma State is a little bit depleted from what it was last year. Obviously, when you lose the nation's best passer and receiver, that's going to happen. But also, at the end of the day, this is still a much better team than K-State. You know, they have the second leading rusher in the Big 12 in Justice Hill, who, by the way, can't believe he's not number one. Puka Williams, number one in the Big 12, is incredible, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And Taylor Cornelius, the quarterback, is not Mason Rudolph, but I think if he had one more year, he could get there. You know, I think he's really talented. So, you know, I just don't like this matchup right now. I just don't think K-State has the weapons, the tools to necessarily run with Oklahoma State right now. And, you know, you can point to the fact that they've given up a lot of points on defense this year to teams. And I'll say, yeah, I agree with you. It looks like their defense is struggling, but you know, until K-State's offense takes the field and really asserts itself, you can't give them the benefit of the doubt against anybody, really. So I don't like it. I mean, I think it's going to be another loss, and, you know, you're probably going to go the entire month of October without a win if you don't win this game. So that is a weird world to be in right now.
Yeah, they'd be 2-5 to lose Oklahoma State. They have a bye week. Then at Oklahoma, everybody's going to call that an L. That's 2-6. Go to TCU. If you lose that one, you're 2-7, and then what are you really playing for other than, hey, you know, we can't lose to Kansas the week after that. So it's dangerous territory, and probably the most winnable games they have are perhaps the last three of the season, but they could be in a 2-7 hole. So it's you're right. That's a huge game. Of course, the last 2 weeks have been huge. I still think they had to beat Baylor to make a bowl. They didn't, but they definitely have to beat Oklahoma State to keep the hopes alive and keep that 25% chance of making a bowl possible. All right. Time for the off-the-wall question. I really was struggling to come up with one for you this week, Riley, but then I thought, you know what? You're a guy that just graduated college. You're probably a night owl. You work the grind now in the real world. So the question for you, without indulging too much information to get you in trouble or anything like that, not that I have any inside information because I don't, what's the latest phone call you have ever made, and did you regret it? You know, did you make a phone call at 3:30 in the morning and like, oh, Lord, you woke up the next day going, why did I make that phone call?
Yes, I have done that multiple times. I mean, I'm not going to shy from it.
Is there one that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I'm going to be honest with you. When I do that, I've never gotten a pickup. Like, people don't pick up when I call that late. But, you know, there was one, man, it was in September, it was early September, and I forget, it was a Thursday night before, because I don't do anything on Friday night since I got to cover a game the next day.
Right.
But I was hanging out on Thursday night, and I don't even know what the news was but I had some news that I really wanted to share. So the Sam Pauls, Tanner Hewlett, all those guys.
Yep.
They go to Hayes. Well, I'm pretty good friends with them, so I guess I decided to call them all up, and I made 6 phone calls in a 10-minute span trying to get somebody to pick up. Nobody picked up, so it was a little disappointing. I don't have a good story, like I said, because nobody picks up the phone when I call that late.
What was the information that you wanted to share so badly?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew.
What are you pulling a Snyder now, not giving me answers to my questions? I see how this goes. Oh, boy.
They asked me the next day. They said, "Why'd you call?" And I said, "I called."
Oh.
If it strikes
my.
Me, I'll let you know.
What time in the morning did you call? Do you remember what time you called?
The first one was 2:52. The last one was about 3:04-ish.
A 15-minute run of phone calls and nobody'd pick up. Darn it! I'm gonna get a hold of Sam and go, next time Riley calls, pick up, because I want to know the other part of the story. If he would have picked up, that'd been
That's
good.
That's frustrating.
Stuff.
Maybe I left a voicemail.
Yeah, I'm frustrated as well. I don't know the end of that story. All right, Riley, we appreciate it as always, man, and keep up the great work. Keep asking the questions, and maybe eventually we'll get answers to some of those questions, and we'll see if K-State can turn things around this Saturday against Oklahoma State. Thanks for the time, buddy.
Yeah, sure thing. We'll talk to you later.
Hey, what else? What are you working on? Go PowerCut now. I'll let everybody know. I know special teams you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, you know, I'll have that today, and then we got Madness Manhattan on Friday. The basketball teams are doing Madness Manhattan, so I'll have some basketball coverage this week. And, you know, I've written something about the 2019 basketball recruiting class. I'm not sure exactly when that'll be up. It's in the hopper. It's waiting to go. We're just kind of trying to balance it out right now, trying to find the best time to push it out. But right now is when both sports kind of hit at once. And so there's a hodgepodge of things going on. But, you know, whether K-State goes 6-6 or whether K-State goes 2-10. We're still going to bring the same football coverage every week, so looking forward to it.
Well, you do a wonderful job. GoPowerCat.com is where you can check it all out. Riley Gates, our guest every Tuesday. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday, Riley.
All right, thanks, Wade.
Take care. That's Riley Gates. GoPowerCat.com does a wonderful job, as does everybody on staff. And they have to ask those questions. I mean, I know there are some people out there like, well, you know, Bill Snyder, I don't think you should ask these types of questions. You know, I'll say it again. I know people that are in much higher offices in the world that get questions, whether or not they like it or not. And that's the beauty of our country. We can ask the questions. The media can. The beauty of the country also is Bill Snyder can answer them any which way he wants. Now, we may not agree on how he answers them, just like some people may not agree on how the questions are asked or worded. That's what makes the country great. We're all different people. If we're all the same, it'd be pretty boring. Although, less dramatic, probably. So we thanks Riley for being on and his appearance on the Sports Ticket every Tuesday, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company.